friend of mine used a phrase the other day that I'd never heard before, maybe totally familiar to everybody else, but it hit me in a big way. He's talking about how so many people are looking for a spiritual bypass. I think that's really true. It's a get me out of jail card. It's something that somehow lifts you out of the mess, out of the difficulties of human life, out of the struggle, the suffering, the sadness. Somehow I think a lot of them think if you can get out of that part, you can still have all the good part, you know, happy days and, you know, the joy and the bliss. I can't really argue with that, because maybe there are spiritual teachers performing spiritual bypass on a regular basis and having great success. And if you find one of those guys and that's what you're looking for, I deeply recommend trying it out. My own experience, and it's 50 years worth of experience, so whatever that's worth, it's not infinite time, it's 50 years. And it's a lot of trial and error and experimentation and a long personal journey in the realm of what we label spiritual as somehow distinct from material or worldly. As I want to do, I'm going to try to put this into the simplest terms I can find. I was born into the world, and other than that little brief episode in the sandbox when I was 4 or 5 and somehow saw the dark universe in the middle of the day with wheels spinning in the sky, other than that, up until my early 20s, I was a complete believer in, absorber of, liver of the life we all share. And then there was what you might call a brief, although it didn't feel brief, episode of what you may call initiation, which was an LSD trip that shattered everything I knew about material life as we know it, gave me a glimpse into something so much bigger, so much more profound, so much more real than the day-to-day world we inhabit, that I could never, once I returned from that 3 billion year journey, assume that the world was what it appeared to be. Now, the world is very addictive, and it pulls us into its thrall very readily. And I know even people who have had these vast kinds of spiritual experiences still come back to what I refer to as the fullness thereof. It's biblical, not me, but the world is so full, and it is so beautiful, compelling, involving. We're so built to be in it, to figure it out, to touch it, to experience the journey through it, that the memory of the fact that this is not all there is, that in fact, if anything, it is a brief, tiny little construct in something so much beyond it. And there are so many writings and teachings from ancient time that talk about the bigness, the vastness, the eternal, the infinite, and they try to lead us to know that space, to free ourselves of our compulsion to just be here. And it's really it's attractive when you start to realize how unsettling human life is and how complicated it can be and how mysterious it really is, to think that you can open up to this place that is there, that puts it in perspective, not that it explains it, not that it gives you oh, I get it kind of clarity. What it gives you is we are part of something so much bigger that perhaps we can live differently as a result of that. Perhaps we can live more affectionately, compassionately, lovingly, kindly with one another, because nobody knows what's going on. Nobody has a clue. There are those who know that we are contained by or have arisen in something beyond understanding. You can call it consciousness, awareness, presence, God's being. It doesn't matter what you call it. Knowing that intellectually, knowing it even internally a little bit, permeates your day-to-day life and allows you to function perhaps with a little bit more grace and ease than you might if you didn't know it. Everyone on the planet is trying in some ways to find comfort. Everyone. We are all built to seek security and safety and love and ease and well-being. Very few people have that or can, if they get it, sustain it. It arises and it goes away. Things come together, perfect happiness, and then it deteriorates. It is a world of duality, and we all know that. Stuff comes and it goes, it comes and it goes, and we even have begun to realize, if you're lucky, that ultimately it all goes. And that impacts how we live our lives. The fact that it all goes is meaningful. It's so meaningful, and in a way so painful, that we decide, we'll think about that later. Not important for now. Let's just go through our life. When you put that fact of impermanence in your back pocket, or you put it away somewhere, what happens is you begin to not realize the incredible poignancy, power, immediacy, value of this moment of being. Because this moment of being achieves its ultimate power in its passing, in its fluidity, in its impermanence. And this is at the core of every spiritual teaching. Everything goes away. In my own journey, I had this experience after 45 or so many years of meditating that might be called an awakening, in which the Bruce journey, the Bruce egocentricness kind of fell away and opened a door to something other, which was that I am not only Bruce, I am everyone. I am not only this separate individual, I am the totality. Not in some grandiose way, but in some deeply humble way. Because there was no ownership, there was only what I would call participation. Becoming a part of something instead of imagining yourself as the whole thing. If we were to take the whole universe, let's say we could make it a circle, and show you where the ego imagines itself, you would have that circle, and superimposed on that circle would be another circle that might even be a little bit larger than the universe. And that is the way most people live. There is them and this little idea of a universe. It's deeply out of balance, deeply out of reality. It's not how it works, but we imagine ourselves, our needs, our concerns to be primary, and everybody else's to be their problem. The ones who are closest to you, you may help with their problems. The ones who are a little further out, let somebody else deal with that. But when the ego begins to shift a little bit out of its own orbit, this little crack of infinite time and space begins to show itself. And it's a little bit like the halo around the sun when the moon passes in front of it. That halo gets brighter and brighter and brighter until it obliterates the moon in front of it, the ego in front of it. There comes a moment where the you just is washed out by this otherness. It doesn't literally obliterate you. It basically puts you in perspective. In a sense, it just goes, here's you, and it goes, and you see you, one with that, connected to it, deeply a participant in it, but what you really are, what really is going on, is so much bigger than this tiny little ego, super sensitive, centric, egocentric being, that life changes. The spiritual journey alters at that point in terms of the love and care and compassion and concern that you may have for your own personal bodily egocentric self is surpassed by an enormous love and concern for everybody, for the whole shebang. And it is not like you have bypassed your life via the spiritual journey. You have just experienced or opened to the total journey. And I can't even say it's the total journey, because my experience is, it's like just stepping up one ladder, one step of the ladder. It's so big. There's no mindful part of you that can judge this journey. You're just in it. But you are deeply aware in your little ego-minded person that you are impacted by, influenced by, directed by, in service of this bigness. And you must use it. So when I teach with you, because Rudy taught me how to look at another human being and be sensitive to them, this additional energy comes through and allows me to see you. And it tells me, if you do, it's directive and it's emotional, and most of you who sit with me and work with me, you know it's a very odd little series of mudra-like movements that deal with your energy system, that look at you deeply, compassionately, lovingly, and see where the problem is, or where a problem is. And I can go in there and somewhat alter it, not I, because all I do is align, and I am directed. I literally am directed in that alignment. It says, it tells me what to do. That's all I can tell you. And if I don't do it, I will know it instantaneously. It's like, nope, this way. And it's very subtle, and you just know. And every time the alignments are working and digging deeply into each of you and anyone perhaps even listening to this talk, every time that alignment aligns you and works for you, something shifts and the ego moves a little bit out of the way and the self starts to shine through. You start to see who and what you are. There is still an ego-minded being. It's biologically present, physical. It has an expiration date. And as it begins to move toward that date, it begins to break down, to dysfunction. And that part of the human journey, which I am describing week by week now because I am in it, you know, I don't know where I am in it, but I know I'm in the downward slope. I'm watching stuff fall away. I'm watching stuff being taken away. I'm watching the mind self experiencing this and going, this is not easy. This is not comfortable. This has a whole new level of issue and demand that I never really thought I was going to be dealing with. In other words, in the vastness of the self, the ego-minded self is crying out because it hurts and there's pain and there is a sense of sadness and grief at loss, which is inevitable in every human life. But we all have to dialogue with that experience. We all have to enter it. And it brings up a lot of things, because those who thought by exposing themselves to the vastness of self would therefore somehow be able not to have to go through the final disintegration of the bodily being have come to realize that isn't true. And you can try to do it with grace and ease, which I think is a really wonderful approach, and maybe one you will have come to by your spiritual practice, but it doesn't absolve you of going through it. And if anything, all of your spiritual life has prepared you for the most difficult part, which is what's ahead. And I don't want to say it to scare you. I'm not trying to say it because, you know, get your life in order or, you know, who knows what will happen. It's like, use this as another part of your spiritual journey. There is a part of me that feels maybe I should just sit very quietly, get very detached, and just watch what's going on. Stay very connected to the self and just bye-bye to the ego self. But the ego self is starting to make a lot of noise. And I'm beginning to think one has to pay attention to that. And I am paying attention to it. And it's starting to act up. It's starting to tell me that I need to act, that I need to remain functional in the world, that I need to speak my thoughts, carry my love, energy, concerns, commitments into the world and not leave them just as some amorphous thing inside, that I need to have right action, as Buddha called it, and I have to really engage the world. I wasn't expecting that at the end of the ride. I was expecting disengagement, quietude, monastic stillness. But I'm being instructed, if you will, to be more active than I've ever been. And I'm discovering that that activity is difficult. When I'm older, it's harder. The world is, as we all know, not an easy place, but I'm really finding, and I'm talking in some ways about making this movie, but it goes beyond that, this idea of making a movie to help get, to change the electoral process in our country or the election itself, trying to move things on some level. Some people would say, oh my, you know, come on, you know, give it up. But my voices are saying, you must engage. And I was talking to a friend yesterday, Bart, who I love very much, and he said he has this theory that when your car's not working and you can't quite tell exactly what the next thing is to do with it or what's wrong with it, he said, take it out on the road and open it up all the way. You will find what's not working. And he said, our spiritual life is not dissimilar to that. As you move toward the end, take it out there. If you want to see what remains to be done, what needs to be worked on, what's hidden in the tiny crevices of ego mind that still is left there in a sense to be acknowledged, to be accepted, to be liberated, whatever it is, take it out into the world and be a functioning, active being. And I look back at Rudy, and his whole teaching has always been, the world is your spiritual life. That's from day one. And that's what gave me a career, and it gave me made me a husband and a father and a grandfather. It gave me enormous engagement in the world, all of which opens you up to unbelievable levels of joy and suffering. But I've taken it all on. And now, in a period of retirement where I thought I would step away, I am being told there is no stepping away. There is no bypass. The bypass is engage. The bypass is live. You know, there was Dylan Thomas said, do not go gently into that good night. I used to say, no. Be gentle. Well, gentle's not wrong. But what is wrong is don't go passively, inactively into that good night. Take it on. Take the world on. Which brings me to one last point, which is, I was talking to my sister the other day, and I was telling her all about what I'm dealing with, and she said, get over it. We all die. The world dies. Accept it. Be done with it. Forget it. Just go on and have a life. And I thought, brilliant. She is brilliant. I know my sister is brilliant. But I also felt it's easy to say that. It's another thing to face it head on. It's easy to say you die. It's easy to say the world comes to an end. But the reality of that is massive. Both of your own death and the death of the world, which in fact, as I've shared with some of you, could be happening because we are dealing with something called global warming, which I'm not going to begin to talk about right now, but it is an issue I am definitely compelled by because I love the world and because I hate to see it die. And I love myself and I love you. And I hate to see myself die and you die. And yep, we're all gonna die. And yep, the world's gonna die. But I am not going to sit passively by and just go, oh, okay. Acceptance doesn't mean disinterest or being oblivious or just paying attention to your own little world. You can still be involved in the totality. You can still be involved in the vastness of what and who we truly are. I can't tell you how this is meant to come down or where it's meant to go, but I will tell you one thing that keeps coming up for me because I'm struggling with how hard all this is Buddha under the Bo tree. Buddha didn't go, oh, well, we all die, the world dies, get over it. Buddha sat there and he dealt with all of his attachments to pleasure and all of the demons that came after him to terrify him before he reached his, we may call it final enlightenment, I don't know if that's true, liberation. And I can only tell you that putting your car on the road full speed will shake it up, and what will come out are the demons. You will start to see the stuff that has been hidden in the dark corners that you didn't know. You knew something wasn't quite right, but you didn't know and wouldn't know unless you took it out there into the world. And if you take it out into the world, you will get a glimpse at what's not working. And that's the demons, if you will, especially if they're hard for you to accept or hard for you to embody or hard for you to move through, you will at least get to see them. And then that's where the work at the end of the spiritual journey really comes. Because unless you see them, you are putting it off to some final moment because they're definitely lurking. But if you put yourself out there into life and you engage it and live it and be it and face this stuff head on, unless you do that, you're going to be looking for a bypass that allows you to escape something that is not escapable. Trust me, if you find a teacher who can find a way to make it escapable, who really literally lifts you out of that whole thing and keeps you out of it as your breath is going away or as your body's on fire or as you're in the middle of a car crash or whatever it is that's going on, if you really find that thing is going, ah, yes, bless you. Go for it. Go for it. This is not a bypass. This is a pass through. We are passing through the journey. We are passing through what may be the most miraculous reality that is called human life. I do not know the how or the why of it. I do not know why this thing is happening, why there is this vast self beyond it that's so much bigger than the little thing we go through every day, but I do know the combination of the macrocosm and the microcosm is somehow beyond miraculous, and we are in it. This is a journey that we are not well prepared for. We have little instruction. Every so often, certain people come along the way to provide some instruction. I hope you understand that the instruction I am offering you is not instruction, it's just what I'm going through. And it's a really potential help for those of you going through your own thing. In the end, the best and final instruction comes from you, yourself. But somebody like Rudy was able to teach me, the Dalai Lama teaches me, other teachers out there, Bart taught me. So many people gave me insights along the way, but it's still just me and it is you and it. And you are, just by listening to this and sitting here, you are absorbing the key teachings that allow you to know, essentially, you have to find that which helps you, comforts you, allows you to experience love and grace in the middle of a very unknowable, unpredictable journey that is full of miracle. That's all I can tell you. And it is not by chance that this is happening. I will tell you, it gets stranger and stranger. I described last week Twilight Zone, LSD-like episodes happening for me more and more and more, and I'm just going, okay, but it keeps coming back to the world of the ego mind and the world of the vast self that we are is one thing, and the journey back into that ineffable truth will dissolve everything, including your mind, as it liberates you from separateness into total singularity. Look for love, look for beauty, look for truth anywhere you can find them. Anywhere. I will tell you, when the sun shines, it'll be all around you. So when the sun goes behind the clouds or goes behind the planet, it's harder. But it does it regularly and we get practice. Darkness happens every 12 hours. We get a chance to learn about life without light. And then we learn to learn about life with light, and we have to make peace with both. But one of the things that seems to be happening, at least in the worldly structure, is they alternate. Be ready for both, open to light, don't hide from darkness. Live your life as though it's all one thing, and be amazed that the fact is you are alive, you are real, and you are actually experiencing this now. There's no spiritual bypass that I know of. Any thoughts, comments, criticisms, concerns?
Funny, after last week's talk was very touching to me. In fact, going through a breakup, I've been feeling a lot of aloneness, and I realized that a week or two before I had a dream, and I didn't dream very much, and it was kind of post-apocalyptic or something, scared the shit out of me. I wanted to ask, do you see any corollary? Also, last week you got a very good result from a very major medical scare, and does that come into what's been going on with you soul-wise and internally?
Yeah, to some degree. I talked a little bit in class about how there was some concern about having maybe pancreatic cancer. and I went and had a CAT scan, and not only did I not have pancreatic cancer, I was totally healthy, completely healthy. And my reaction was, I don't have pancreatic cancer, and the other was, oh God, I gotta live, you know? And it was kind of a very strange combination, because part of me was absolutely preparing and ready to depart. We have friends now who have friends who have had diagnoses of pancreatic cancer with just months to live. And I had made some assumption that I might be one of those people. And so I was really dealing with a preparation for this will be it. And I was walking around day to day with that in my mind, which I think people who are hypochondriacal like me do. Look like, oh God, okay. And then trying to make peace with the reality of that, because it's a big thing. And so I got to a place where I was really like, I think, ready to go. And I was, I think, even talking in some ways that may have promoted that, because a number of people started calling me and writing me after that last week's talk saying, are you okay? Can I help you? I love you. I mean, all these strange little feedbacks. But the fact is, I'm very much alive as we will be here for as long as that is meant to be. But that little practice run for me probably was somewhat helpful, because I was ready, kind of am ready, to depart at the when it's wanted. You know, I mean, maybe that'll change at that exact moment. I think, you know, there are biological terrors that arise. But I was dealing with a lot of that and really going, thy will be done. So practice run over, here I am, and I'm trying to still carry on this dialogue with everybody about, one, the miracle of being here, because it truly, I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. I mean, I don't think you go to effort to make this universe just to punish people or to cause suffering. Well, the Buddha said life is suffering. And I don't think this was made for suffering. It was made for something, but suffering occurs in it. And ultimately, suffering will be inevitable if loss and death is your is all you think of. There is also life and living and loving and touching and beauty and joy. And there's qualities of life that become, to use a word that's in the culture right at this moment, the lodestar. Those are the things to pay attention to, but to know that in the midst of whatever you're going through, if you can get quiet enough and still enough, the light that you're looking for shines not just from outside, but from inside. And you can find that path if you have found a process of stillness. It will always show up. It will amaze you in how it shows up. And I have been nothing but amazed this last week, because I have had so many people reach out to me based on the talk where I thought people would fall away. The opposite occurred. More and more people came forward and just expressed love and compassion. So, you know, there was a shift of sorts, but, you know, there's always shifts. There'll be another shift in the next 2 hours. You know, it just keeps happening. The ride nowadays, honestly, I think, for everybody, if you watch the news cycles, they're all saying there's no more cycles. It's just news, 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 news. And it doesn't stop. It's like the world's rushing at us in such an insane way, and insanity being a good word to describe it. We really have to find a way to find that still point that rides through all of that. And it's only going to increase. So the need for what I'm talking about, forgetting the bypass and going directly into what can I do, how do I live in the midst of crazy times? How do I live? We've been blessed in living in relatively normal times for many years. Now we're not in that world. How do we live? I will tell you, I think the spiritual bypass is really a way of moving through craziness, not around it. And we can do that. Stay rooted, stay firm, stay connected, stay you know, connected to your higher self, if you want to call it that, because it really is higher, and it really is a self, and it really is yours, and it really will help. Anything else?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, guys. As far as I know, next week I'm in LA. A quick update on things is that I showed the movies, which are almost finished, to the former mayor of San Francisco, Art Agnos, who really found them very powerful. And he is arranging to get them to Nancy Pelosi within the next week to 10 days and to get them put out there if she responds to them. So there's a lot of activity now in that arena for those of us who were working and are still working on getting these films 100% done. There's an enormously wonderful voiceover artist and actor named Peter Coyote. And Peter came in yesterday and recorded the narrative parts of the film, and he gives it a great deal of authority. The films have emotional power. And hopefully in the next few days, 10 days or so, this thing will be in the electoral cycle, I hope. In other words, we've come a long way from sitting around talking about this for the first time a few months ago to actually having something that is manifested and going out there. And I'm very excited about it. It's a little bit intimidating because it's hard to know whether it will do what I want it to do or not do what I want it to do, but in a certain sense, it has to leave your hands. We did the work. We did the work. And all of you who helped be part of that, all of you who were, you know, who were supportive, you know, I have endless gratitude. You know, I mean, this has been an extraordinary journey of entering not knowing what to do and watching something guide you step by step and open one door after another, after another, after another, and it's still happening. So we'll see where it ends up. And if nothing else, the great lesson was that you can set out on a path without knowing where you're going with good intention and actually get somewhere. So thank you. And I'll talk more about this when all is said and done, but it's been a great ride. Love you all.